And so it's really important to understand this optimizing your investments in the 401k isn't just the investments within the 401k, it's also all of your investments. So they all are working together towards your goals. So it's a really, really important topic.
Welcome to the Retirement Cafe with certified financial planners Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. At our cafe, we believe your retirement plan should be life-giving and custom-made, just like a hot cup of coffee. Here in mid-Michigan, with an office in Jackson, the Retirement Cafe is open for business.
Welcome into the Retirement Cafe. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about the 401k. Well, all about the 401k, but we're going to do it from a little different angle. And guys, I love the title of this episode, The Groundhog 401k. I immediately just think of Groundhog Day, the movie.
Yeah, which is a classic.
Yes, it is a classic.
It's one of those where I can actually, anytime it's on, I can just hop in and just start watching it. I don't have to watch the whole thing, but you know, throughout that movie, it's good. So it doesn't matter where you pick up, you can just kind of just jump in and enjoy a few minutes.
Well, the cast of the movie is incredible to begin with, right?
Mm-hmm. That's a hilarious movie.
Yeah, it is. Well, you're probably wondering the Groundhog 401k, but today it's all about understanding your 401k, that plan, and the strategies that you can use, some of the hidden strategies that are there that you might be able to optimize. So just to kind of give a little background before we hop into this today, why are we calling it the Groundhog 401k?
I don't know. I think we just tried to be
funny. Yeah, we just made it up.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah, the reality is like, and I think if you live in the Midwest and you see groundhogs, we see them running around here, even around our building sometimes. It's interesting because they live underground, right? So hence the term groundhog. Yeah. But you'll see them stick their head up out of the hole and you're like, oh, that's weird. They're just like sticking down in this little hole in the ground. But that's not it, is it, Brent?
No, it's a pretty good system that they have, you know, so that they can live a safe life underground, right? So it's like an engineered burrows all throughout the ground.
Yeah.
They're hidden.
It's pretty amazing, really, to think about it. But the way
and they're
that
very destructive. What this is about.
They are very destructive. But the point is there's a lot of things I think with 401ks that people really aren't that familiar with. Maybe some hidden strategies, and that's where this whole thing comes from. So today we're just going to talk about some of those and maybe some ways that you can improve the use of your 401k.
I like it. I think it's going to be a good episode. It's going to be a fun angle to take on this topic. And we're going to have this report up on the website, included with the show notes. So yeah, we're going to go through all the strategies. But if you want to read it into a little more detail and kind of go through it yourself, maybe print out a copy, it'll be there online at averywealth.com. We put all the podcasts there as well. So if you missed any of the topics we've gone through in the past, there's been a lot of great conversations on a wide range of financial and retirement planning topics. They are all right there. So let's jump into this one and get into a little bit deeper. Why do you think this is an important topic, though, before we get into these strategies? Why did you pick this one out for today?
I think the biggest thing is for most people, this is their primary, like the 401k is their primary savings tool to get ready for retirement, right, Brian?
Yeah, and it's an easy way to save a lot of times. It's very convenient. And the contribution amounts or limits that you can put in are a lot higher than a lot of the other ways that you can save towards retirement accounts, without some of the rules and income limits that are subject to maybe a Roth or different things like that. And so it's a good way to be able to save a lot of money easily.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, the reason we think it's so important to talk about it is the majority, I don't know if majority's fair, but many people sign up for a 401k and they really, if you ask them, they'll feel like, I don't really understand this that well. I don't really understand what investments to pick. I don't really understand all the rules around it. They just know that they're supposed to do it. So they pick a number like, I'm going to put 5% of pay in or 10, right?
Yeah. And then I think even beyond that, a lot of people realize, okay, there's tax advantage deferrals, right? So that you can have, there's free money, they call it, that your match that you're getting. And then maybe some people understand the catch-ups and things like that. And so those are all really important things, but those are kind of at the surface, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people understand those types of things, but what we're going to talk about are just some of the things that are below the surface that are going to help you really, really get a big bang out of your 401k.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I think, like you said, like the tax, the pre-tax thing, like, well, my accountant said I need to put more money in here. Like, and so they just do it, not necessarily fully understanding it. So we want to dig in a little deeper, Ben, and really help people get a better feel for what they can do with their plan.
Outstanding. I think it's going to be great. I think it'll be very beneficial for people who are looking to improve their retirement savings. And it sounds like you have three strategies we're going to focus on today, plus maybe a little bonus strategy at the end for everyone listening. This first one we want to get into is supercharging your contributions. Now, I hear that, but I think, like, isn't it pretty straightforward how much you can put into your 401k?
How about maybe?
Yeah, well, that's always the answer, isn't it? It's like some cases it is, right? So what we're talking about, most people, you can max out your contribution at 19,500 If you're over 50, you can put another 6,500. So if you're over 50, you could defer $26,000, right? And then you're going to get your employer match and things like that. So that's kind of the cookie cutter way of going about it. That's the surface level stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But if you really look deeper and you look into the IRS rules, which I know everybody loves to do because it's so simple, anything from the IRS, you actually, if you're under 50, the max contribution to a defined contribution plan, so 401k is a defined contribution plan, is what they call it, is actually $58,000. And when you're over 50, it's $64,500, right, Brent?
Right.
So pretty significant increases in what you can actually put into the plan. But where this gets a little confusing is not every plan allows you to do that, right?
Right, right. So that we looked it up. There, about 43% of plans allow for after-tax contributions. And so in order to get to those levels that Dan was talking about, you would have to have a plan that would allow for that. And then you start adding together, okay, what did I defer? What did the employer match contribute? And then the amount above that, it would be these after-tax contributions that you would be eligible to if your plan supports that.
Yeah, and the way I understand that, Brent, is if you put an after-tax contribution, you don't get a tax break, right?
That's right. That's right.
So it'll grow tax-deferred and possibly even tax-free if you manage it correctly.
Yes.
So that's pretty significant. And the one thing I would say is, and Brent mentioned it, so you have to add up what you've put in plus what your employer's put in. So if you happen to work for some employer, and we have seen this where they just put a ton of money in your 401k, that's going to limit. That all counts towards that limit. So you might not be able to put in that much more. You know,
right.
It doesn't happen that frequently. Typically, matches might be 4 or 5% of your pay. But, just keep that in mind when you start doing that math that that's counting, right?
Right.
So
you just want to understand, first of all, does your company allow for after-tax contributions?
Right.
That's a big piece of this part of it. Because if they don't, it's not the end of the world, but you just can't use this particular strategy.
Yeah, and one of the big benefits, and keep in mind, this gets really complicated, so I'm going to put a disclaimer on it. So don't automatically think, hey, I've got this mega backdoor Roth opportunity that exists. But typically, if you have an after-tax account in your 401k, when you leave that job, when you do a full rollover out of that plan, so all the money can be rolled out at once, many times you have the ability to move that after-tax pot of money into a Roth IRA. So that can be super powerful for people that are really looking at those things.
Yeah, that is really interesting.
That's a huge benefit.
Yeah, it sounds like, people might not even realize that they aren't maxing out their contributions. Like, it seems like you just might think, okay, yeah, I'm doing all I can do, but there might be some other stuff available for you.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And I think that gets down to why we're talking about this stuff, because so often people just take things at a top real high level and they'll get a bulletin from the 401k provider. Hey, the limits are this year. And typically they state what you can put in when they talk about the limits, right?
Right.
The 26,000 or the 19,500.
All right, let's move on to strategy two, which is optimizing the investments inside of your plan. Let's go. What do you mean by this? What is this exactly? Lay it out for us.
First of all, this is a really good discussion to have because there's a lot of different plans out there that have different options. So one of the things that some plans have, which is a really great opportunity, is they'll have like a self-directed option, right? Where you can kind of like, it's attached to like a TD Ameritrade or a Schwab or a Fidelity, and you can go out, Brent, and pick other investments.
Yeah, because most 401ks will give you a schedule of you have, 20, 30 different funds. Some of them may be a group of funds that are all bundled together, but you're pretty limited on what your investment options are. A lot of times, and it's not always available, just like what we talked about before, but there are these brokerage agreements that you can sign that allows you to get access to a lot more investment options.
Yeah, and there might be a little bit of a cost, but it may be worth it. You know, that's where you really want to talk to your advisor and say, hey, do you think the cost to do this is worth doing it? Or do you think, hey, the funds I have already are pretty good and I should stick with those at a lower cost? So it's really important to kind of understand that and talk to somebody about it. I think the other big thing when I think about it, Brent and I talk about this a lot, is what we call asset location. Mm-hmm. So like understanding what investments you have overall. So I want to just kind of take this at a real high level. So let's say you believe in Warren Buffett's advice and that you should be a balanced investor, right? So like 60% stock, 40% fixed income, right? So typically you might say, oh, I'm going to put that all in all my accounts, right, Brent?
Yeah. Yeah. So you'd have 60% stock in your 401k and 40% bonds. And then in your Roth account that's held somewhere else, you'd have the same mix in your after-tax, you know, like a trust account or a joint account or an individual account, you'd have the same mix in each one of those. But that can create some problems, and that's not tax efficient.
Right, right. Because if you really think about it, what do we want to grow faster if we could? We'd love to grow our Roth IRA faster, as an example, because it's tax-free.
Right.
So if you're thinking about this strategically, you might say, oh, you know what? I'm going to put more of my, maybe some of my safer type, the 40% that's in fixed, in my regular 401k or pre-tax account, and maybe put more of the stock positions in things like Roth and after-tax accounts where I get better tax treatment, right?
Right. And so, and also you're working, right? Because you're contributing to a 401k. So in your after-tax account, your brokerage account, you don't want to generate a bunch of income,
right,
out of those types of investments. And so you want to, you want to make sure that you're allocating the right pieces to each one of those accounts.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that, and there's a book that Brent and I have read that kind of talks, the guy does an analysis of basically what's the difference. And what's so interesting about that, it's kind of a simple concept, but you could get the exact same return on your money, but you have more after-tax wealth, right?
Right.
And so it's really important to understand this optimizing your investments in the 401k isn't just the investments within the 401k. It's also all of your investments. So they all are working together towards your goals. So it's a really, really important topic.
To me, this one seems like it could be maybe the most important. I just know from experience, I was always fairly good about, you know, diving into my options of investing inside of that account and would actually try to do a little research. But like a lot of the people I talked to, and even my wife, I mean, my wife didn't realize, you know, once you put the money in, then you got to go actually in and select investments. Like when I first got her account, she just had it all in cash and had no idea. Just assumed, oh, I'm contributing to my 401k. I'm doing what I need to do. But I think this to me feels like it's one of the most important.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah, and so do I. And I think, you know, understanding, we didn't even have this in the notes, but Ben, what you brought up brings a really good point, is you should also understand what you own inside there and making sure you're comfortable with the level of risk that you're taking in there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people are picking the investments in their 401k. Well, you know, it might say growth. Well, I want it to grow. So, you know, that's what I'm going to do. And they don't understand that it's not a straight line in growth. Right.
Yeah.
And so then when corrections happens and things like that, they're not prepared for it. And then they, you know, they make the mistake of selling it at the bottom and things like that. So you have to understand what you own. It's very important.
For sure. And that, like, same thing as like Ben, you're saying, is that maybe somebody puts it all in really safe stuff, you know, and the idea is they're 27 years old because they're afraid of seeing that move around. You know, all this stuff always has to be aligned within a good financial plan. And that's what we always talk about. You probably heard us say it if you listen to the show before. This stuff, there are choices you have to make, but it should all be within the guidelines of your overall plan and what you're trying to accomplish. And then things get a lot easier when you make decisions within that.
So optimizing your investments, knowing what you have, it's making sure you have everything that aligns and making sure you're taking advantage of everything that's inside of that plan. So that's strategy number two. What about strategy three, making tax smart moves with your 401k? Again, this is something I thought was pretty straightforward in terms of putting money in and the tax breaks that you get with that and the tax that you have when the money comes out. But there's got to be more to it, obviously, if this is one of the hidden strategies.
Yeah, and that's changed pretty dramatically the last few years. So like More and more 401k plans have both a pre-tax option, which we're all used to. You put the money in, it's a tax break. You take it out, you pay tax on it. But now you see a lot more with a Roth, don't you, Brent?
Yeah. And so as this becomes more and more of an option, you really need to understand your overall tax situation. And we say this all the time on the podcast and all the time to our clients. It's not about paying the least amount of taxes in 2021. It's about paying the least amount of taxes over your lifetime. And so if you're a young working family and you have, you know, two or three, four kids at home, you're probably paying less in tax now than you ever will again, right? Mm-hmm. And so the Roth might be the way to go, but a lot of people are just, well, you know, I'm going to save a little bit on taxes this year and I'm going to do it in the pre-tax. And so you want to understand your situation and where you're headed in your tax situation and make sure you're putting it in the right basket.
Yeah, yeah. And just to reiterate, so everyone understands completely, the pre-tax option, again, you get a tax break when it goes in. You pay tax on the full amount, including growth, when it comes out at retirement. With a Roth, you're paying tax just on what you put in, right? A lot different. And you get all of that tax-free as long as you fulfill the rules, wait till you're 59 and a half, all that kind of stuff. And so really what Brent's saying is when you're young, you don't have a high tax rate, you're probably better off just paying taxes on that seed right then and getting the harvest for free down the road.
Absolutely.
Right? So that's real important. And then the next thing, so when you start looking at your 401k, the other thing that they've recently adopted, many plans, is this idea of being able to actually do Roth conversions right inside of the plan, right? So I want to kind of back up and make sure everybody's fully on board with this. So the first thing, like Brent was talking about, is figuring out what account you should be saving to, right? So looking at your tax rates, do you use a pre-tax or do you use the Roth? And then maybe, or is it a combination, right? Could it be some in each? And then, of course, just so you know, your employer match is always going to be pre-tax. That's not going to go into the Roth. That's complicated. We're not going to get into it on this episode, but understand that's going into pre-tax. But once you identify that, the next thing is saying, hey, let me look at my tax situation. Do I have some pre-tax money that maybe I could convert? And so what's that mean, Brent?
So when you convert it, you're just taking it from pre-tax. You're going to pay income tax on the conversion. So that's going to be counted. So let's say you were going to convert, we'll just make it easy, $100,000. You would move that $100,000 from your pre-tax bucket into your Roth bucket, and then you'd pay income tax on $100,000 in this example.
Yeah. So like if you happen to have a low income year or something, that might be an opportunity to fill up low tax brackets. So most people listening probably understand there's like, we have like this stair step tax bracket system, right? So the first is at 10% and then 12 and on up, right? So you get to like 35% roughly, I think is the highest now. So like what we're talking about filling those tax brackets is making sure those lower tax brackets are used up each year, because you're going to use, if you don't, that money may be taxed down the road at a much higher rate. So that Roth conversion kind of takes advantage of a lower rate if you have it then to pay the tax. Right.
Right. So like if you were had several thousand dollars still in the 12% bracket, you might fill that up, right, with a conversion. So if you could get to that line, if you will, that tax line, by adding $20,000 of income, you might say, well, I'll convert $20,000 of Roth, only pay 12% on that conversion and do that.
Yeah, which is awesome, because if you run the numbers, it works really well. Because those assets grow through time, then all of a sudden, your tax rate actually goes down, right? So if you paid tax on $20,000 and now it's worth $40,000, the amount of tax it's already paid doesn't change.
Right.
But if you did the math backwards, the percent that you paid gets lower and lower every time that money grows. And I think the last thing to really understand about this whole tax smart moves is, again, back to your plan, is like what I think is really valuable. Brent and I do this all the time, is kind of like looking out into the future based on what you have today and what you're doing. What is your tax situation likely to look like down the road, right?
Right.
So that really should be the overriding theme of all these choices, is you want to optimize each year, like we're talking about, but you also want to have an overriding theme of what's this going to look like long term to make sure you don't run into trouble, or you're not maybe converting things you shouldn't because it's not really helping you, right? So we don't want to pay tax today if we look at our long-term plan and it really didn't help us any.
Yeah.
Right? So it's all good stuff to think about.
Yeah, I know that we're always thinking about the return on our investments, but it seems like you can really add some long-term value to your accounts by really paying attention to the tax planning aspects of this.
Oh, I don't think there's any question.
Yeah. I mean, the impacts can be huge, honestly. I mean, we've seen countless examples of Roth conversions and things like that that have made significant changes to somebody's situation.
Oh, it's incredible. And it's funny because there's only, you can't really control very many things in life.
Right.
Like, I mean, people like to think they can, but we really can't, right? Can't control markets, really can't control what they change with the tax code. But we can, you know, use what tax code exists today to our advantage long term. And so anytime you could do that, you know, it's really a huge advantage.
All right, so that's the three strategies. Let's move on to the bonus strategy I promised people at the beginning of the episode. And this one applies to business owners. What do you have for us?
First of all, business owners have lots of opportunities that, you know, average people sometimes don't have, because they can control not only their contribution, but they can control their company contribution right. much easier than a business, right?
Yeah, and you can set up a 401k. If you're setting up the 401k plan, you can set it up in a way to not only help your employees, but to be advantageous to you as the employer.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge, right? Like, you could have a better match. You could have profit sharing that's kind of tilted more towards the owner at the end of the year. So it's much easier to really get more money put away. And one of the reasons that's so important, if you look at a lot of businesses in their life cycle, early years, they don't make much money, right?
Right.
And so maybe they don't have as much opportunity to save. But later years, as they become more established, they might be able to put away quite a bit of money. And what we find is many business owners don't really understand really what they can do.
Right.
And so they're not taking full advantage. And even, like, you know, as an example, like, if your spouse works in the business with you, then all of a sudden that might open up more doors. Right. And, you know, so you got to look at all these things. It's super important. So you have higher contributions you can put in like a 401k plan, because a lot of business owners do stick with like things that are, they know, like SEPs and simples,
yes.
which are good. They're good yep. savings tools, but they have limits, right?
Oh, yeah. And they're less than in 401ks. And then if you're a small business and you are the only employee, you can always do the SEPs or the simples, but you can also do solo 401ks,
right?
Which give you those higher contribution limits that we talked about earlier in the show to really help you put away a lot of money or you know, save yourself on taxes if you're making a significant amount of money.
Yeah, for sure. Because that's one thing that's really cool about the individual 401ks is that you can do Roth options if you want. You can do regular pre-tax. But if you're the business too, you could put in profit sharing. Depending on your income, there's factors that have to work out for this. But you might be able to get, if you're over 50, to that $64,000, $65,000 level,
right?
Right. So it's really, really positive if you fully understand as a business owner all the rules and things around those.
Well, all very good stuff. I think this gives a lot of people something to think about. And again, we're going to put this PDF in the show notes. So if you kind of want to go through each of these strategies, look into them and all the details that Dan and Brennan provided you today, it'll be there on the website at averywealth.com. But I always think it's a good idea to just try to summarize what we've talked about today.
Yeah, for sure. I think the big thing, you know, just some basic questions that you should probably ask yourself, you know, things like, how can I make the best use of my investments that I've got inside my account, right? Which we talked about. You know, how do I coordinate my 401k with the rest of my plan, which is super important, and that needs to all be in working in concert. Couple other things, you know, what more can I do to save for retirement? That's a question we get a lot.
Yeah.
If you're a good saver and you're like, well, I'm doing my 401k, but what else can I
yeah.
do?
Yeah, right? Where else do I put the extra money that I have?
Mm-hmm. That's really important because, and again, I'm going to stress, and Brent will agree, I'm sure, that this is where it's really good to have a conversation with a certified financial planner and make sure, you know, there's nothing worse than being a great saver and doing everything right or trying to do everything right, but really making some mistakes because you didn't understand the options, right?
Yeah.
So that's real important. And then finally, just, are there more tax-efficient ways of saving and investing my money? So like we talked about, really understanding your tax plan within your 401k and those savings plans to make sure you're optimizing all that. So like, if you have questions like that, our recommendation is talk to somebody. Like, figure this stuff out. Put yourself in the best position so you can really maximize everything you're doing and put yourself in the best long-term spot.
Great stuff as always, guys. I encourage everyone to visit averywealth.com. If you haven't, we will put this podcast there. All the other podcasts get archived along with all the resources that Dan and Brent offer their clients and also you for listening to the podcast. Just go visit the site. It'll all be there, plus the PDF that goes along with our conversation today. Groundhog 401k. Guys, I appreciate it. I don't know if the groundhog saw its shadow or not after this episode. I don't know which more appropriate, seeing the shadow or not. But either way, I do appreciate all the info.
It sounds good. It was a pleasure. You.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified professional before taking any action. Avery Wealth Inc. is a registered investment advisory firm.